Grab a cup of tea or a glass of wine and tune in for Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy on Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Linda creates sacred space for leading female luminaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. A soulful venue where guests openly share the fears and obstacles they've overcome, wisdom and lessons learned, and the personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic, soulful living.
Welcome to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, Inspirista, Mindset Mojo Mentor, and publisher of the beloved Aspire magazine, inspiring women to live their best life since 2006. Did you know that Aspire is still free? After 15 years, you can claim your free subscription at subscribetoaspire.com. With your free digital subscription, you'll also receive a treasure trove of transformational gifts from our inner circle. So today we're going to be talking about lots of yummy stuff: medicinal gardening, how to incorporate hemp and CBD into your life. And with me today is Barb Webb, author of Getting Baked. Barb is a sustainable living expert and award-winning author with a diverse publishing background, ranging from curriculum design to social media. She has been featured in magazines such as Women's World, Country Woman, Red Book, MSN Money, Woman's Day, Taste of Home, Simple and Delicious, as well as Aspire Magazine. She's the founder and editor of RuralMum.com, whose goal is to help empower women with hand-picked tools and information to live country life to the fullest. Welcome, Barb.
Thank you. I am so delighted to be here and honored. I absolutely love what you are doing, Linda, and Aspire Magazine is, well, so aspiring.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad that you've shared your wisdom in it. I look forward to having you share some more articles and content, as well as having you on today's show. So, you know, a lot of people might not even know what the phrase medicinal gardening is. So why don't we start there? What does that mean?
Yeah, that's a great question, because you're right. A lot of people don't distinguish between a regular garden and a medicinal garden. So when we talk about using a plant medicinally, we are using it with intent, and an intent of a health and wellness being. So for example, if we grow a tomato, we're obviously growing it to eat. That is an intent, and it does keep our body healthy and nourished. But when we look at medicinal, we are looking for, as the word implies, a medical condition. So we may be having sleepless nights, we may need to build our immune system, we may have some arthritic pain. So we're looking to use plants to nourish us in a different way to address these particular conditions that we have. So when you cultivate a medicinal garden, you are growing things specifically for your health and wellness needs.
Well, I love that. And one of the things, you know, even for me, is like, I don't know which herbs are for what. So how does someone start to educate themselves to and about medicinal gardening? I know you're passionate about this.
Very much so. And it's been a lifelong endeavor. I've been about 20 years now growing medicinally for my own particular needs and my family's needs. How does one go about doing this? There's obviously a lot of books like mine out there and a lot of research available. You can start Googling on the internet, obviously, but you do want to find an expert or someone who has a long time knowledge in this industry, because there's a lot of misinformation out there. And that's part of what I tried to clear up in the guide that I wrote, is getting rid of some of those myths. And so then you want to, you know, when you're doing it, obviously you want to address the condition that you have. So if you have insomnia, perhaps you're going to want to, you know, look for herbs and plants that would support a quality of sleep. And that's really where you begin. In the book that I wrote, I detail that out by different things, whether it's inflammation reduction, sleep aids, digestive aids, or whatever the person is looking for. Here are the herbs that you should be looking at. And I'd be happy to go over some of those for your readers. or listeners,
I'd love to hear. For example, you know, a lot of people are stressed out right now, they're struggling with sleep. So what are a few herbs that you would recommend that they would start with if they're just beginning their garden?
Fantastic. Yeah, that's exactly where to start. And some of them, and by the way, herbs are like so easy to grow. So anybody who doesn't have a green thumb, don't worry, because most herbs originally started out as weeds. The only difference is we distinguish them as herbs now rather than weeds. So some of the best ones, chamomile is obviously a hard hitter when it comes to inducing sleep in people. Many people have a great experience with chamomile teas. Lavender is a stress reliever and also can aid with a deep sleep. Ashwagandha is a Ayurvedic herb that's actually very easy to grow in your garden too. And that has had great success with many people finding it to have a sedative quality. So those are some of the ones that I would suggest starting with. Also things like lemon balm, mint, have sedative properties that can help relax you and help with that sleep that you're looking for. And of course, if we look outside the garden, which is another part of what I'm very invested in, other herb, which is hemp, produces CBD, which has also been clinically studied for its sleep enhancements.
And so many people are using it. My honey uses a product to help them sleep at night, which is, I'm going to get it wrong, but I know it's CBD, not hemp. And it's made a world of difference for them. So one of the things, my granddaughter must be like loving this, because she said, please, Papa, you have to get lavender and mint. So he just picked some up. And we had a big pot of the lavender. And last week she came in and says, I'm going to make you lavender water. And then the week after, she picked some of the mint and put it in water and she stirs it all up. You know, she's 9 years old and uh-huh. made us mint water. She just is so drawn to them. So we have two of those growing. The other thing, you know, that, you know, I run into in a lot of conversations and I've struggled with myself is, okay, so now you grew them. Let's use those as an example. What would you do with the lavender other than like what do you do to make it medicinal as a way to get it into your body?
Wonderful question again. So normally when we look at herbs and spices and other plants that we may be discussing here, like hemp, we look at just incorporating it into our diet. Which is fine and great, but that is not a medicinal use of the particular plant. That's a great way to boost it and keep your healthy properties going. Or so as you have mint in your water, that's fantastic. It's just a little booster of calm throughout the day and can get people to drink more water, which is always fantastic for your body, adding herbs to water. So when we look from a medicinal standpoint, we're trying to draw as much out of the plant as absolutely possible to get all of the essential oils and properties within that plant, the terpenes, the things that actually make that plant have the qualities that it does in a more quantified way. So if I'm brewing a tea for pleasure, for example, I'm going to take my chamomile and my mint and brew it for about 5 minutes, basically. If you buy a tea bag or even loose tea, that's about proper temperature, 212 in 5 minutes. If I'm going to do it medicinally, I'm going to brew that tea for 30 minutes or longer to draw out everything that I can from the tea. So I want it in a very heavy concentrated format. I'm going to use more of the plant material to do that. And I'm going to extract it at its highest concentration and take it on a regular basis to help or promote whatever health need that I have. Now, tea is one way. There are many others. You can extract it into essential oils. You can make tinctures. You can, if you need it topically, you can make rubs. You can make bath bombs. I go through a lot of these things, and all of my recipes are in the book as well. For those that are interested in whatever health need you support is going to determine what type of concentration that you'll want. There's even alcohol tinctures for those who don't have problems with alcohol, which can be really fun to make teas out of or even specialty cocktails once in a while. And so you can really look at fun ways of supporting your health needs too. It doesn't have to be so rigid or so meticulous.
Well, I love that the book I'm Getting Baked has the recipes and ideas, because it's not just the gardening. It's okay, if you're going to have a medicinal gardening, it's learning to use the herbs in a way that is going to enhance your health.
Yes. So I always look at things from a seed to table, being a farmer, I always look at it from a seed to table perspective. And that's what the book covers, is how do I actually get this in the ground, and not even get it in the ground. If you want to go to a farmer's market and buy your herbs from an organic gardener, absolutely great place to be. You don't have to necessarily grow them, but still looking at that seed to actual table or bath or wherever you need it in your household or your health needs process. It's a holistic process. It's not just, you know, about buying a product or consuming the product, but how does it integrate into your entire lifestyle?
Ooh, I love that. I love that, the energy and the sound of that. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I want to talk about hemp, because that's something I'm not familiar with, and maybe there's many of our listeners who aren't familiar with it either. So we'll be back in a moment. I am with Barb Webb of ruralmom.com. We'll be right back, my friends.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Inspiration for a woman's soul. Aspire Magazine, inspiring and supporting women on the path of self-discovery. Claim your free digital subscription today, which includes access to thousands of dollars of personal development bonus gifts from Team Inspiration Partners. Claim your Aspire Magazine subscription today at subscribetoaspire.com.
Hey, America, we need to have a little talk. We've got more food than we know what to do with in this country, yet 17 million kids in America are struggling with hunger. Makes no sense. Luckily, the Feeding America nationwide network of food banks has volunteers gathering excess food and getting it to hungry kids. They're kind of like food angels. Hey, become a food angel yourself by supporting Feeding America in your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. We can't do it without your help. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hi everyone, this is Shea Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shea Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
This is OTRFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy, and with me today is the author of Getting Baked, Barb Webb. You can find her at ruralmom.com. So right before the break, Barb, you were sharing, you know, some what medicinal gardening is, some ways we can integrate it in our life. But something I know you talk a lot about is hemp. And I don't have a lot of knowledge about that. And I'm sure many of my listeners may not either. So first, educate us what it is, and then how can you use it?
Absolutely. Hemp is an amazing plant that I'm a huge fan of, not for its euphoric qualities, which some people are, and that's great, but for its medicinal properties and also for its ability to transform into things like renewable plastics. Hemp has about 25,000 uses. It's this crazy, ridiculously abundant giving plant. And hemp is basically an herb. It is a plant like any other. And it is most famous for marijuana, which is a derivative or a type of hemp. hemp that has a high THC level, which is the euphoric inducing component. I'm going to take you back a second when you mentioned that CBD and hemp are different. They're actually not. CBD is a component or a compound found in the hemp plant. And so what that is hemp, which is kind of the polite term for cannabis, which is the overarching plant name, has multiple varieties. There are low THC varieties, which we politely refer to as hemp, and then there are high THC varieties, which we tend to refer to as cannabis or marijuana plants. Now, CBD comes from the low hemp variety, and it is an extracted compound that is found within the hemp plant. No matter what cannabis plant you have, you're going to find various compounds. One of those is CBD. So CBD is actually from the hemp plant, and it's been extracted and studied, and it was found early on to have some pretty amazing components itself. Now, there are over 100 compounds within a hemp plant. CBD just happens to be one of the most abundant ones. And it was found that CBD actually mimics receptors that we already have in our body. To put it in the most simplest form. So this natural plant has what our body needs on a level that helps anti-inflammatory reduction and pain in particular. Sleep is also another one that they have found later on. But early on, they found that it helped epileptic patients. And there is actually a pharmaceutical CBD quality grade product that is prescribed now to people with epilepsy, and it's very effective. Then they found that CBD actually, in terms of pain relief, is 30 times more effective than an aspirin in reducing inflammation in the body, wow. Which is, yeah, chronically what most people have when they take Advil or aspirin. And so that's pretty cool. So we found out that this compound does some amazing things through studies, and they're still finding out more, and they're finding other compounds within the hemp plant. And the great thing about it is you can take CBD and not have the THC, which is the euphoric component of the cannabis plant, affect you in any way. So it's an over-the-counter, doesn't impair your judgment, your driving abilities, or anything else type of thing. And in fact, they've learned how to extract CBD without having any THC levels in it as well. So it's a really fascinating thing. And I found I was an early adopter of this. I suffer from Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which produces a lot of inflammation in my body. And I was an early adopter of CBD when I found out that it had these significant anti-inflammatory properties. But I found also that there was so much Wild West misinformation about this particular component, and even hemp in general, which I've been using for years cosmetically, because hemp is absolutely fantastic for skincare. It's an ingredient actually used in a lot of over-the-counter cosmetic industry. So, but it was something I was using all on its own as a hemp oil, because it just gives you great, smooth, fantastic skin. It's great for your scalp, things like that. So I was early adopter of CBD and found that there was so much misinformation. I wanted to cut through that. And I did. So I wound up talking to a lot of experts, and I have a background in curriculum. So I'm an excellent researcher, and I read all of the scientific studies and realized that the average consumer was just completely lost. Like you said, most people don't even understand what hemp is, let alone what CBD is, or how to pick it, how to choose it, how to incorporate these things into your health routine, because they can have such a profound impact. As you said, your husband uses a product for sleep enhancement, and that's many people are finding success with that. So I wrote a book. that's really where the book came from.
Yeah, and I love it. And I love that you shared your own journey, like especially with Hashimoto's. I have a family member. So when you were using hemp to treat the Hashimoto's, is it something that you created yourself, like an oil, a product, and then you were using it to soothe the symptoms and the inflammation? or is it something you purchased? You know what I mean? It's a product that you purchased.
Yes. Right. So I've always had to purchase hemp products because hemp is illegal to grow in Kentucky. So I wasn't able to have it in part of my garden. But it's not obviously illegal to purchase, especially in low THC quantities. And then CBD became legal to grow and purchase in Kentucky, which is wonderful. Hopefully cannabis in general will be soon. But I always had to purchase it. And that's where I began to initially have incredible confusion because there was no clear cut. What do I use? What amount do I use? How do I choose a product? How do I know? So I initially went to one of the expert companies. There are several companies that are sort of founders in the CBD arena. And I sort of went to them thinking, okay, this is step number one. I'm at least going to the people who created this. They should be knowledgeable, right? And know what they're doing. And so I talked to them, interviewed them, and purchased some of their products and found sort of my own method of treating and reducing the inflammation in my body, and found out that it was very successful. It not only helped my Hashimoto's, it also reduced my carpal tunnel syndrome, which is a side effect of being a writer. So I didn't have as many episodes of pain in my hands, and I found that I was sleeping better. So that was really cool. Yeah, and from there, I continued to research and find out more and more.
Well, I know. I remember someone saying to my honey when they found out he was, I think they call it bedtime beddies, and they have a little bit of melatonin in it too. And they're like, oh my God, what if you ever get pulled over and they test your blood and they're going to find marijuana? And he's like, what the hell are you talking about? Right. So talk about that, because honestly, that's probably three people in the last 5 years that said, oh, I don't want to take it because my company, I'm a nurse and my company does random drug testing. And I'm like, so talk about, see, right there is something spreading around the internet. So talk about blood tests, hemp and CBD, and what is actually going to show in a blood test. Because I think there's false information. Well, we know there's false information.
Yes, there's a ton of it. And so there should be some concern with, there are three types of CBD. I need to start there really quickly. So there's full spectrum CBD, there's broad spectrum CBD, and there's CBD isolate. Full spectrum CBD means that it has all of the plant compounds, terpenes, plant matter, oils, everything in that product. And that does mean it has a trace amount. By law, it has to be under 0.03% THC. Now, you would have to consume bottles upon bottles of tincture to even remotely have a sense of euphoria from taking a full spectrum product. So there's never a threat of that. You would get sick before you could even achieve that. But what there can be a threat of, you're correct, in full spectrum CBD on sensitive drug tests, the THC can show up. Even though it's so minuscule, it does stay in the body for a certain amount of time. Now, broad spectrum and isolate do not have THC. And that's what we were talking about earlier, is manufacturers have found a way to completely remove the THC from the product. So broad spectrum also has all of the plant compounds and materials and oils and everything except for THC. CBD isolate is pure CBD compound. There are no other plant materials within that product. And so both broad spectrum and isolate, for anybody who wants to try CBD, those are the two terms you should be looking for, because there's no THC within those products.
I think it's great information to share here because there is so much confusion about it. So thank you. I appreciate that. We are going to jump to our next break. And when we come back, I want to talk about cooking and using medicinal herbs and spices with our favorite recipes, because I think that feels almost like less intimidating because you're getting to play in a new way. So we'll be right back. I'm with Barb Webb of ruralmom.com, author of Getting Baked, a green guide that takes a fun, cheeky approach to teach readers the ins and outs of how to navigate their way through the hemp culture. We'll be back in a moment, my friends.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Are you designing your life or living by default? Discover your soul's unique human design and be empowered to live the life you were meant for. Nancy O'Keefe, certified human design specialist, intuitive transformational coach, and compassionate transformer, helps women like you peel back the layers of who they've been taught to be to reveal who they truly are so they can create the life of their dreams. Nancy knows firsthand that anything is possible. She divinely designed her life and went from receptionist to company VP and on to founder and CEO of her own multi-seven-figure firm. Nancy has been developing and coaching people for over 25 years and is passionate about helping them understand their divine design, embrace who they are, and live their best life. Schedule your complimentary call today at nancyokeefcoaching.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
This is Terry Van Horn, and I want to invite you to join me for my weekly radio show, Healing Light, on OM Times Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On Healing Light, we want to bring love, light, and blessings into your world. You can find out more about us at www.healinglightonline.com. Blessings.
Me, a cat, moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. So, Bob, let's talk about how we can pair medicinal herbs and spices with some of our favorite recipes, because I think that even to me, it feels a little less intimidating than trying to make a tincture. Like if I was going to start, I'd love to learn how to play this way.
Yes, and I agree. I think that is the least intimidating approach, even with CBD. Like you can make your own CBD gummies and things like that and cookies and try to introduce it just into your diet lifestyle. You can definitely take any herb or spice and use it in heavy quantity within your cooking to get that particular benefit throughout your week. Garlic being a prime example. I am a huge garlic fan. It's easy to grow. It's fantastic for so many reasons, but especially like a lot of us are worried about boosting our immune systems right now. Garlic is an overall immune system booster and just has so many healthful benefits for the body. If you begin cooking with a couple cloves a day within your recipes, whether you like Mediterranean or Italian or even Irish cooking, they all use garlic. So that's one way of absolutely just kind of upping your herb and spice life in a very friendly way and getting back into the kitchen and doing some cooking, which is always fun.
Now, do you have any tips for using lavender in a, since I have some, and mint in a recipe? Is there a favorite recipe you have that you put one of them in?
As I say, do you have a copy of the book? If not, I'll send it to you. I have one of my favorite lavender recipes in there, which is a lavender mug cake. Mm. And so that's really fun. Lavender is great, especially in English and Irish cuisines, because it's part of a French cuisine as well. It's actually in a lot of recipes. So if you're looking to incorporate lavender, you would want to look towards those three cuisines. in the sense of putting things in there, because it's used in cottage pie, it's used in shepherd's pie, it's used in a lot of French cooking and a lot of French desserts. It's great. Lavender is fun to just kind of throw into things like cakes, because it has a fun component of not only scent, but taste. It's lavender flowers are edible. So you can even use them, put them in a little bit of sugar, dry them out, and use them to garnish your desserts. It's beautiful. And lavender teas, you said you're using lavender water. That's an easy one. Mint is huge in Mediterranean cooking. So those are recipes I would look for mint. Obviously, you can, you know, even chop it up and put it on top of your hummus, if you like that. I love fresh chickpea hummus.
Yeah, I'm a hummus girl too. And I never thought of that. And I'm thinking of my granddaughter, because she loves Kids Baking Championship with Duff. And so she's always creating amazing baking recipes. And I'm like, ooh, when you said cake, the milk cake with lavender.
Yeah.
I'll look at, I do have a copy of the book. I didn't get to that recipe though. So I'll have to give her that recipe so she can bake amaranth papara lavender cake.
So that's a great way to do it and put it. And mint is great, of course, in cookies and brownies and any kind of, you know, you can put mint on your ice cream, make milkshakes. I love mint and grapefruit juice. That is a fantastic summer.
I never would have thought of that. I have one of the pitchers, yes. You know, a glass pitcher with that tube down the middle that you can put fruits and herbs in.
Yes.
So that sounds fun, having grapefruit with mint. That does sound good.
It is. It's such a great combination. And think outside the kitchen, too, into things like bath bombs or bath salts, or other ways that you can use lavender and mint, too. You can also use them in hand lotions. I mean, you know, so there's recipes for that, too, in the book, if you want to take a look at that.
And you know what?
Salad dressings. That's another easy, fun way.
And what I can imagine is you near the holidays, your family and friends must love it, because I bet you make these amazing products and everyone's like, oh, I want this one.
Yes, except I almost always make something handmade, because I really believe in that. I think that's a fun way to go.
Yeah, it is. And I want to talk about herbal teas, right? Because are all herbal teas equal when it comes to your health? Because yes, I know about organic and non-organic. So I know, okay, don't get this one, get that one. But can you go a little deeper into that?
Sure. Are all herbal teas equal? Well, organic is better, and it's important, because anything that you're brewing in a tea and extracting, if it has been grown in a non-organic matter, you're putting those chemicals into the water when you extract it from the plant. Even if you wash the herbs ahead of time, you have to realize that the plant is sucking up what is in the ground, and chemicals go into the ground. So from the root, it's going into the plant. So regardless, if it's not grown in an organic matter and you try to boil it and put it in your tea, that's all leaching out into the water. So that's definitely something you want to avoid putting into your body. Just not a good idea.
So what's the difference?
Go ahead.
I was going to ask what the difference is between medicinal teas and regular teas. So when you're at like Whole Foods or whatever, you think, oh my God, in heaven, there were so many, you get like so discombobulated. So what is the difference? Like, I'm not one with a lot of wacky flavors. It's just not my taste buds. But please explain that, because I think that's confusing for all of us that get there and we're like, if I want it to improve my health more than just a relaxing cup of tea, how do I choose?
Right. No, that is very difficult. And most of the products on the shelf are not medicinal in nature, meaning they're not in a high enough concentration. So for example, if I'm going to purchase a box of tea packets, or even some loose leaf tea, doesn't matter. And let's just say we're only purchasing chamomile. So we're going to go with a single ingredient tea, and I want chamomile for rest. And I will brew it according to the manufacturer's instructions, which is about 5 minutes. And I'm going to sit down and have that before bedtime. And you know what? That cup of tea by itself, just because it's a warm, hot product, is going to relax me, right? So they're not even relying on the ingredients necessarily. They're also relying on the ritual of tea making when they promote this for sleep. I'm going to take 5 minutes to make my tea. I'm going to sit down and enjoy it in a relaxing position. And that warm, hot goodness is going to flow through me. And the water from it is actually going to hydrate my body and make me feel better too. So the chamomile is sort of the icing on the cake. And that little bit of chamomile that I'm going to get in that tea is going to give me some relaxation benefits. However, if I am an insomnia person who has extreme difficulty sleeping, that chamomile tea from the grocer is not going to help, because there's not enough in it. It's not in high enough concentrated format. A medicinal tea is a very concentrated tea. So I would have to take half of the manufacturer's box of chamomile tea, put those tea bags in a teapot, brew them for about 30 minutes to 45 minutes to suck every ounce of life out of those tea bags. And then I could rewarm it and drink it in that high concentration. Now that, if I have severe difficulty sleeping, should be in high enough dose that it acts more like a sedative to actually induce sleep. And so when we talk about this, and I talk about this in the book, what is the difference? Medicinal teas, number one, are selected for a health need, but they are also in very high concentrated format. So you have to have a lot of the plant reduced down to a cup of tea. You want to extract every single ounce of medicinal property from that plant. And when you create a tea, you do that by boiling. But you have to do it for a lengthy amount of time. You want it's going to be a very strong tea compared to what you're used to from the grocer shelf. So some people have a little trouble adjusting to that initially, but I do mention ways that you can help with that. You can add a little bit of sweetener, honey, which is great anyway, and for many reasons. Add a little bit of almond milk or what other kind of milk. I didn't give anything straight. So, but there are many ways to reduce it or even add natural sweeteners. So for example, chamomile, which can tend to get bitter at high concentrations, you could add some orange peel or other, some cinnamon to it or something else to kind of perk up the flavor and give it some balance. So that's the huge difference. It is in the brewing time and it is in the concentration. It's going to be a very, very strong tea. So what you're buying off of the grocer shelf is not bad. And they're all lovely and they're all meditative and great teas. And they do certainly give you a little boost of that plant. But if you want something that is more medicinally focused, you do want a strong concentration, and that's going to mean using the herb in its purest form, which is fresh for most herbs. Now, by the time it gets to the grocer shelf in the dried format, it's probably sat there for anywhere from 3 months to a year, which also begins to degrade the power of those particular herbs. So you want to find herbs in their freshest concentration, preferably fresh. There are some that do need to be dried, and I detail those out. But and that's where you're going to draw your medicinal properties from, because you want all of the plant matter. You don't want a dried herb that's already lost most of its essential oils.
That's a great tip. My other question is, you know, I don't live in a big city. I live actually a half mile into the woods on a spring-fed pond. Rural. No, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's my slice of heaven. Where does someone buy herbs, organic, to start their medicinal garden? Because, we bought that lavender plant and we bought the mint. It was just at the local plant stand, whatever you call them, when you get all your seasonal stuff. But now I'm like, oh, I don't think they're organic. I think they're just plants. You know, so yeah. I've been drinking lavender water with God knows what toxins on it because my granddaughter's been making it. So where does someone get them to start? because I know offhand, I can't think of anywhere I can find. I wonder, does Whole Foods sell them?
Yes. So if you have places like Whole Foods, even Aldi sells organic. If you have any farmer markets in your area, you should be able to find organic herbs. The very best way is to grow them. Even if you just put a windowsill pot out, you don't have to have a lot of space to grow herbs. You can grow them inside an apartment, on an apartment balcony. You don't have to have a farm to grow them. So there are so many ways. Even if you think you don't have a green thumb, then get a hydroponic system and just grow them in water. It works wonderfully and it's so easy. But anyway, so yes, but a lot of people do shop, and farmers markets are the number one place to go. But Whole Foods, Aldi sells organic. There are plenty of other places that do. Our Kroger, I don't know what other.
We do have a Whole Foods. For me, it's about an hour away, so I'm not there often. But my granddaughter loves growing. Like, she has a garden at her house, so she's growing all kinds of things. Parsley, I forget, dill. I know those are, she's having so much fun. Strawberries. So I really ask, you know, for her so I can let my daughter know. So we're going to take a final break, and we'll come back in a moment. You know, why don't we talk about some of the 6 most common myths about CBD? Because there's many out there. And we'll be back in a moment. I am with Barb Webb of ruralmom.com. Be sure to check out her website, learn about her book, Getting Baked, and stay connected with her. We'll be right back.
This is OTRFM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Are you a highly sensitive, empathic woman ready to release the layers of false beliefs and emotional blocks holding you back from living the life you deserve and desire? Now is the time to clear those false beliefs sabotaging your life so you can access the joy and possibility waiting for you on the other side. Neurotransformational coach Kathy Castile, herself a highly sensitive, is passionate about supporting and empowering women in reclaiming their self-worth, finding their authentic voice, and in releasing the layers of sabotaging beliefs holding them back. Kathy trained with Tony Robbins, Robert Kiyosaki, and Sean Smith, and intuitively merges numerous coaching, leadership, and healing methodologies to serve the entire spectrum of human behavior, creating transformational changes so you can make long-lasting breakthroughs in your life. Learn more at kathy-castile.com.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
This is OTR-FM, part of the iOM Radio Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Inspired Conversations. I'm your host, Linda Joy. And with me today is Barb Webb, and we're talking about medicinal gardening, the benefits of hemp. And we're about to dive into some of the most common myths about CBD. So I'll hand it over to you, Barb.
Fantastic. I'm going to take 2 seconds to backtrack to our gardening section for 1 second to address one thing that you said. Is if you are purchasing the herb in plant form already growing to grow at your house, a greenhouse is going to be your best bet. And check with them. Most of them are organic. They don't use a lot of chemicals. If you're going to someplace like Lowe's or I know that's regional, but basically Walmart, you know, any place that has a gardening center and you're buying herbs from them, do understand that there are chemicals used to produce those. But once you get it home, if you're treating it organically, it should help correct a lot of what is going on with that plant. So that's just something I wanted to make sure readers were, or listeners were aware of.
Yeah, that's great to know. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So CBD myths, oh, there are a lot of them, but yeah, we already discussed the biggest myth was that CBD will get you high. It will not. That's number one. That hemp, CBD, and marijuana are all the same. They are not. CBD is an extract from hemp. Marijuana and hemp, which is the polite term for non-THC cannabis we discussed, all come from the same plant, though. So they're not quite the same, but they do come from the same plants. Let's see. CBD is a cure-all. It's not. I think readers and reader. I keep saying readers because I'm.
It's okay. I know. Authors always do that.
Sorry.
Oh, no worries.
Most people do not understand that. So that's it's not a cure-all. It is definitely a help and a support for many conditions within the body. But you know, it doesn't cure cancer. It doesn't cure insomnia. It doesn't cure your autoimmune disease. So just know that it's a support like any other herb or plant. It is supporting your mission to improve your health and wellness. So that's a big myth. What else? Taking CBD is going to cause you to test positive on a drug test. As we discussed, that's another big myth. It will not, especially if you take broad spectrum or isolate. All CBDs are created equally. They are not. That's most consumers mess up with the myth of, oh, I go to CVS, now sells CBD on the shelf, and every CBD there is the same. They're not. There are differences, and there are categories that you really need to know. And I do recommend that, even if you don't buy my book and read it, because it's all in there, you do the research ahead of time, and you can kind of, take the time to discover a lot of things on your own to find the nuances between products and understand what a quality product actually looks like.
Yeah, and I think that would be so important because there's so many different ways of manufacturing it that you want the highest quality since you're going to be putting it in your body.
It is. Well, and, you know, studies have shown that 80% of CBD products that they tested do not have CBD in them or do not have the levels of CBD that they're indicating on the packaging. Whoa. So it is a buyer beware field. You have to know what a quality company looks like, what a quality product looks like, and how to tell the difference. Because I have a lot of friends who will go, CBD is not working for me. And I'll ask them, well, where did you get it? What are you using? Tell me, you know, and we'll look in and we'll dive in and find out that, A, that product doesn't even have CBD in it. So of course it's not doing what it said it would do.
Well, that's powerful for people to know. And this, you know, I love the name. First off, I'm going to go off on a little bit because the name of your website is Rural Mom. And I didn't read this part of your bio, but I'm still giggling because it says, when she's not chasing chickens around the farm or engaging in mock Jedi battles, you're writing about country living, artisan culture, and your love for all three things green with a desire to help others. So for those who want to follow you at ruralmom.com, what led you to start it and what can they expect when they get there?
Oh, thanks. Wonderful. So I used to work for McGraw-Hill and I wrote books for them. And back in the day when it was called online journaling, they said, hey, start this online journal to further connect with your readers. I was like, okay. Well, that became RoMom.com. And what I decided is I love this sustainable lifestyle that I was embarking on and have been through most of my life. And I realized that a lot of people just didn't realize how easy it was to incorporate a lot of these sustainable practices into your own lifestyle. And everybody thought you had to have a farm or you had to, you know, completely be vegan or green. And you don't. I mean, you have to do what works for your lifestyle. And I wanted to get that message out there. And I began to make friends. And women were coming to me, you know, from all walks of life. And we were having conversations. And that just has continued. And it's just my part. I think the blog at this point has become sort of my servitude. If people, I don't know how spiritual anybody is, but I am.
My audience,
and I think,
yeah, very spiritual.
I thought so, but I don't always want to assume that everybody listening is. I'm a pretty spiritual woman as well. And I think that we have a level of why we're here is to be in service to others. So Rural Mom has become sort of my servitude to the world and helping to get the right information to people, the best information to people who are looking to add some sustainability to their lifestyle and to be better stewards of the earth.
And you cover lots of different topics like gardening, entertaining, travel, eco-friendly living. So there's lots of juicy content there to support people in either enhancing the sustainable life they're living or maybe getting on the path.
Yes, and that's exactly it. You have said my mission in a nutshell. And I try to cover a wide variety because I didn't want it to just be about gardening. Because I don't just garden, right? I'm a fully faceted person who has to find ways to entertain my children during COVID, you know, yeah, kind of thing. So I realized that other moms out there and women in general have the same problems. And it is very women focused centric website. I do have male readers, but obviously I'm a mom. And so I go with, you know, what I am and what I understand in my little corner of the world and am able to write with some authority about. So I decided that, you know, we all need to celebrate and embrace all facets of our life. And how do we bring sustainability into that while enhancing what we do?
I love it. And I love, like, you love being of service because that's what my brands are about. So I want to invite everyone. Learn more about Barb by visiting ruralmom.com. And of course, while you're there, learn more about her new book called Getting Baked. And Barb, I want to say thank you for joining me today. I loved our conversation. My granddaughter's going to be so excited when I share the lavender milk recipe, the cake recipe. So thank you for that, my friend.
Oh, very much so. And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day. Thank you for having me on. Thank you to everybody who's listening. And please stay in touch. I'd love to discuss more if you have any questions about your granddaughter's gardening and use of herbs and you know, listeners as well. You can reach me through the blog, ruralmom.com. I'm also available at barbweb@ruralmom.com. That's my email address, and on social media. So please feel free to reach out. I love having conversations and being able to empower each other.
So beautiful. Thank you so much, Barb. Everyone, until next time, choose love, choose joy, choose happiness, my friends. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Inspired Conversations with publisher Linda Joy. Join our sacred space every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Eastern and meet leading female visionaries, empowering authors, heart-centered female entrepreneurs, coaches, and healers. Inspired Conversations with Linda Joy is a soulful venue where guests share the obstacles they've overcome, along with wisdom and lessons learned on their personal journey that led them to the transformational work they do in the world. Inspired Conversations to empower you on your path to authentic and soulful living.